The recording has restarted at 9:01 a.m. as well.
Great, thank you. So we are moving into case 2345, informal hearing for Armando Rivas. Is Mr. Rivas on the call with us, or have we had communication from him?
Mr. Rivas, late last night, did send an email. The recording has restarted at 9:01 a.m. as well.
Great, thank you. So we are moving into case 2345, informal hearing for Armando Rivas. Is Mr. Rivas on the call with us, or have we had communication from him?
Mr. Rivas, late last night, did send an email that he was going to be unable to attend due to family matters.
Okay. Members, I think some of our options are to table this and move it to a new hearing in order to hear from him, a new day.
Dr. King?
Yep.
Members of the board, as you just mentioned, I think you have a couple of options.
Thank you.
One is to continue it and give him another opportunity to attend the informal hearing. Another option is just simply to move this forward to a formal hearing. And in the event that he decides to engage us, we can kind of staff that and determine the best path. Or you could, you know, given probably the time it would take to go to a formal hearing, you could do a hybrid. You could move this to your next meeting as an informal to see if he appears, but also move to remand this to formal hearing so that we don't lose an additional 30 days, so to speak. And I and staff can work on preparing for the formal hearing if it doesn't go to an informal interview or an informal hearing before you in October. But that's completely up to you. I don't know if you feel like you need to expedite this in any way.
I think so. If I'm hearing you correctly, Mr. Harris, one of the other options was to move this to an informal hearing, but if he doesn't engage, then it moves to a formal hearing. Is that what you had said? So we don't go formal and informal and then 30 days and 30 days?
Yeah, so we're not back here in October wondering what to do, because he notified Judy again that he would be unable to attend the October meeting. And this way we're just kind of, giving him the option to pick which path do you want to go down? Do you want to, you know, participate in the informal hearing, or should we just schedule a formal hearing? I also understand that we typically don't do this, but my understanding is that he has not provided really much as to why he's not here, other than a very last minute notice of a family matter arising.
I'll then make a motion, just given our interaction with him thus far throughout the investigation, that we move this to an informal hearing. However, if he does not engage or respond to that within a time frame, I don't know how long they have, then it moves to a formal hearing.
Second.
Is there a particular time frame I need to include in that, Mr. Harris, or just...
No, I guess I would just defer to Judy and Mindy and staff on seeing if we have the agenda space for October for, you know, the informal.
Okay.
I believe at this point we have one informal hearing geared up for October already. Is that correct, Mindy?
Yes, I'd have to go back and look at my calendar.
Okay, hold on.
Judy, I should know this. Is the next meeting the 31st?
Yes, sir, it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, because, you know, yeah.
I'm not sure of which informal hearing we already have, Judy. But we have, I will plan to have probably 10 initial reviews. Because we don't have a meeting in November. So
right.
I'm moving my cases to either side of that.
And we moved to today to informal hearings. I don't know if that was open October or November, but.
Those would have to be probably in December because of the notice requirements. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mr. Harris, can we discuss the merits of this case? I know it's on the agenda for an informal interview. The licensee did not attend. Are we able to discuss the merits, or are we solely left with the option of continuing it?
That's correct.
Okay.
It appears I may be misremembering October.
And we don't have to worry about the 35 days because we're just continuing it from today to October 31st. So we would be able to hold it in the event that the agenda would support it and, you know, he appears.
Thank you. Any other questions or discussion? Okay, then let's call the vote.
Okay, it has been moved and seconded to continue case 2345 Armando Rivas PTA as an informal hearing at the board's next regularly scheduled meeting. But if he is unable to participate, the matter will be remanded to a formal hearing to include all potential violations set forth in the investigative report. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
That motion passes. And for the record, can we please clarify who made that motion and seconded it, please?
Kelly King made the motion.
Okay.
Bustillo second.
Thank you.
Okay. So we are moving then to agenda item number 9E, case 2343, Hital Gajar. PT initial review.
And I believe Ms. Gajar is on the call. Are you there? She was earlier.
I do see her.
She's muted. Ms. Gajar, are you present? And I don't know if the complainant, the complaint was filed by her previous employer and there were.
I'm here. I'm sorry. I was muted. So, sorry.
Yeah. Okay. And then I'm not sure the complainant, the representative of the employer, the complaint was filed by a previous employer. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if anybody is representing the, complainant in this matter from Infinity Rehab. Is anybody present? Okay, would you like me to proceed with a briefing?
Yes, please.
Okay. As I mentioned, this complaint was filed by a previous employer alleging that Ms. Gajar completed documentation and billing for a patient that she did not treat on April 11th of 2023. The employer completed an investigation and subsequently terminated Ms. Gajar's employment for fraudulent billing. Ms. Gajar received a copy of the investigative report and submitted a supplemental written response, which was included in your materials as Exhibit 7. The potential statute violations cited in the investigative report include ARS 32-2044-13, charging unreasonable or fraudulent fees for services performed or not performed, and ARS 32-2044-14, making misleading, deceptive, untrue, or fraudulent representations in violation of this chapter or in the practice of the profession. This case is for your review.
Thank you. Ms. Gajar, would you like to make a brief statement to the board?
Not anything more than what I have already sent to Ms. Mindy about the letter and explain her what happened. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. So at this time, the board members will most likely ask you some questions, and then we will move into deliberations to discuss the case.
Sure.
Okay. Board members, do you have what questions do you have for Ms. Kajar?
Ms. Kajar, you agree that you didn't see the one patient that's the subject of this dispute, correct?
Yes.
And there are lots of references in our materials that after this happened, you were interviewed 2 days later and you told your employer initially that you did see patient JW. What happened with that?
So that patient I didn't see, but then like they used to give me one sheet of paper with all the patient list. And by mistake, I didn't remember the name of the patient because it was 2 days later. And by mistake, I told her that it was off and on, but then I had seen all the other five patients. That patient I had billed in error. Yes.
But you on April 13th, you did tell, your employer that you did initially told her that you did see JW, right?
Yeah, I wasn't sure about the patient's name, actually. That's why.
Okay. Thank you.
Ms. Kajar, I think some of the other questions around the investigative report and some of the information in the complaint included your time in and time out stamp. And the amount of time that you build for patients. Can you just tell us about why there would be potentially patient documentation and billing for such a significant amount of time compared to how long you were actually there that day?
No, so I was seeing my patients even in the corridors. Some patients, like it was an SNF, so some patients wanted to even go outside in the patio or something and do a few exercises if it is nice outside. So I had seen those patients. Maybe I didn't see them. Sometimes I used to take them to the gym and sometimes they were on the corridor or sometimes they were outside the building. So, I mean, not outside the building as in that, but just like right outside in the patio where they used to go and sit. So I had seen those patients maybe like, and I had mentioned before also that with the new documentation system, I might be a little overwhelmed and I have made a few errors, like maybe like two, three minutes or something, but nothing more than that. And I mentioned in the letter also that I'd never got any formal training. This was only my third shift in the company, you know, and the skilled nursing facility itself was a new facility for me, like a new setup for me, you know.
Mm-hmm. So when you're saying that you saw them in the hallway or in the gym, but each of the patients for that particular day were billed for specifically 30 minutes, but it sounded like you were saying that you might not have worked the full 30 minutes with them.
So with the documentation, it will be 30 minutes, but like apart from like along with the documentation, it will be 30 minutes, you know.
Oh, so you're including your documentation time into your treatment time?
Yes.
Okay.
And plus the documentation was also very new. Like NetHealth took a very long, like I didn't even get oriented at all because it was and there was nobody around there to ask for help. Jamie, who was my DOR, used to be very busy with meetings and stuff like that. So she was the only person actually I knew in the whole facility, you know.
Are you currently working as a physical therapist right now?
I work at a PRN in an outpatient and vibrant care rehab.
Okay.
It's called vibrant care rehabilitation, yeah.
And in that setting, do you bill your documentation time as patient time?
So we have our computer with us, like we have a laptop with us. So we are always with the patient one-on-one. And sometimes when the patient is doing some exercises, I do the documentation at that time, and then the patient is doing exercises. So we could always have our own laptops all the time, yeah.
Yeah, so it's more point-of-service documentation is what you're describing.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, so there were there any other patients that day that you said you saw that you actually did not see?
No. All the other five patients I had seen, I'm very sure about that, and I've not done any mistake there.
Thank you.
And even one patient, they said that one patient actually was very happy with whatever. I mean, so I was trying to get used to all my patients, and also this was my third shift after a very long time. So, just to get to know the patients. And one of the patients was really happy with my services, and he wanted me to be there all the time. With every shift, he wanted me, but then they fired me. So, yeah.
So given that you were so new, and your productivity looks like it was really quite good, how long would it take you to write a note in the EMR system that you're saying you didn't really understand?
So, yes, because the documentation system was new, but then I used to take my laptop or something and try to figure it out what's going on, you know.
How long would it typically take you to write a treatment note?
Maybe like 3 to 4 minutes. Yeah.
And if you knew the system better, how would that be? How would that have affected how long it took you to write a treatment note?
So the problem was that I kept doing my progress report instead of the treatment note. That was my thing. So I used to take a little bit longer. Again, so when I was opening the system, I used to just do a progress report, which was taking longer. And then Jamie used to come and tell me that you were not supposed to do a progress note. You were only supposed to do a treatment note, you know. So the treatment note would take less than what I was doing with the progress note. You know what I mean?
Yes, thank you.
And I'm very sorry about that one patient. I didn't mean to do that. It was completely an intentional error, you know.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions?
So I guess with the unintentional, the mistake, how do you feel like that happened?
With the billing, with the patient I billed without seeing, I used to look for my patients a lot, and maybe that last, I think it was one of the last patients on my list. And that's how I guess I missed it. I mean, if you see that patient, I mean, I think he was one of the last one on the list, what the paper sheet they used to give me.
If you open the note, you can see that patient, just not paying attention to who the patient was, and then just started filling it out. Is that what happened, or?
Yeah, like I think I mistook that patient for some other patient, you know.
Okay. Any other questions?
And Jamie, my DR even mentioned that this, I mean, she was pretty confident in me that it was an honest mistake. In fact, Derek told me, who actually sent the complaint, that if you can always come back to us he said he could even employ me again, but this was the company rule, and they had to send it to the board. Yeah. So I had been talking to Derek and Jamie after this happened. And so Jamie was pretty confident because I had worked like 2 full days with her and that was fine. This third day this happened, the third shift, you know.
Thank you.
Thank you.
At this time, the board will deliberate the case. And so just as you're certainly welcome to stay, I just ask that you just not interrupt our discussions, please.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. I can certainly appreciate how challenging learning a new EMR system is. However, taking 2 to 3 minutes to write a treatment note is pretty quick for someone who doesn't know how to navigate the system. We know that documentation times should not be billed as treatment time. So I'm just a little, I don't know.
I get where you're going with that, and I feel the same way. You know, that's something that we should know, that documentation time does not belong with treatment time. I don't necessarily see any ill intent, you know, with what happened here. I get that it was a mistake, and, you know, from my experience on the board so far, it seems like a pretty common mistake that happens, you know, a good amount of time. I'd still be leaning toward, and this is just my opinion here, I'd be leaning toward a non-disciplinary continuing education on billing and coding, specifically just to make sure that she has a good understanding of, you know, what is allowed within coding, what is not allowed within coding, mm-hmm. How you justify your coding, things of that nature.
I feel a little differently on this case. To me, I think this was intentional. I don't think this was an error. And the evidence, I think, is she was confronted with it 2 days later. She didn't say, she said she met with this patient. I think this was someone who either grossly misunderstood what the obligations were or, you know, billed for a patient that she didn't see. And it is something we're seeing more and more often, and I think it's something in the past we've come down pretty heavily on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would be inclined to send this to an informal hearing.
Okay. So if we go down the route of potential disciplinary, would you consider as opposed to moving to informal? Because I don't know how much more investigative information we would potentially need, unless you've got some, Josh, that you would like to see added to the investigation.
I don't, but okay. I understand that our only way to impose discipline is through. We can't impose discipline at an informal, at a initial hearing,
right.
Initial review.
We could, however, offer a consent agreement that
could.
Disciplinary action, probation, CEUs, retaking the jurisprudence, things like that. If not signed, move to a consent agreement. I mean, an informal hearing. Okay. Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you that I don't think that this was necessarily an accident. I think it was negligence potentially and billing for things that she didn't know about and maybe even seeing patients she didn't actually see. Okay, any other discussion or anyone want to entertain a motion? Okay, so I'll just maybe combine our thoughts, my thoughts with Josh's, and that make a motion that we adopt the findings of fact and conclusions of law as outlined in this investigative report.
Second.
And I'd like to actually also include ARS 3320441, making leading deceptive and untrue fraudulent representations. So do you still second, Karen?
Sure.
Okay. Any discussion on the allegations?
Dr. King, did you mean 3220-4414?
I did. Thank you. 3224-414. Okay, if there's no discussion, Karen, you want to call the vote, please?
In the case of 2343 Atul Jagar, PT, it has been moved and seconded to adopt the allegations as set forth in the investigative report as the findings of fact and conclusions of law, including ARS 3220-4413 and 3220-4414.
Yes.
Dr. King.
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo.
Yes.
Mr. Leone.
No.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
That motion passes.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion that we offer Ms. Kajar a consent agreement for 6 months of probation. For CEUs, let's see, 6 hours, 3 hours of documentation, 3 hours of billing, unless she can find one at 6 hours combined. So for a total, let's say, of 6 hours, that includes documentation and billing. I will add retaking the jurisprudence. We can discuss that. Courses can be taken online. And the probation's eligible for early termination.
Did you want to add that coding component that Giovanni recommended?
Yes. Is it billing and coding, Giovanni?
Yeah, billing and coding.
Billing and coding. Thank you.
Dr. King, would you consider a decree of censure as well?
Yes. And then if the consent agreement is not signed, then we remand it to an informal hearing.
Billing and coding was for how many hours?
I didn't actually split them out because it's billing and coding and documentation. Sometimes you can find courses that include both. It's for a total of 6 hours. If we need to divide it out, it could be 3 hours of billing coding, 3 hours of documentation.
I think that'll be a little more clear for the respondent.
Okay. Do we have a second for this motion?
Second.
Thanks. Okay, for discussion. We have CEUs, probation, retake the jurisprudence, decree of censure, and moving to an informal hearing if not signed. Okay. Hearing no further discussion, are we ready to call a vote?
Okay, in case 2343, Hotel Jagar, PT, it's been moved and seconded to offer a consent agreement to include a decree of censure, probation for 6 months with the possibility of early termination after successful completion of the following terms. Continuing education, which shall be completed in 6 months, courses must be pre-approved, may be completed online, and do not count towards renewal requirements. That continuing education shall be completed in the areas of documentation for a minimum of 3 hours and billing and coding for a minimum of 3 hours. Successful passing of the AZ Law jurisprudence exam. And if the consent agreement is not signed, the respondent will be invited to an informal hearing. Dr. King.
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo.
Yes.
Mr. Leone.
No.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
That motion passes.
Judy, I'm sorry to interrupt. I may have missed it. Was there also a decree of censure?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did list that. Did you?
I just didn't hear it. I apologize. Sorry for interrupting.
No problem.
It was the first thing you mentioned, Judy, and then after that, probation.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Dr. King, would it be possible to get a comfort break?
Yes, let's do. Mm-hmm. Ms. Cajal, the board staff will be in touch with you on their next steps.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's take 10.